Buckle up for a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Very, very fun person joining us right now. We have Sam Scott from the Phoenix Foundation. We're chatting about their new track, Whistling in the Darkness. Mordena, Sam, how are you doing?
Atamaria, Zach, very well. Just out in the beautiful city of Porirua this morning.
Mm-hmm. Is Porirua a city?
It is a city, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because Wellington is like, I've heard it be compared to like three or four cities kind of smushed together.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's quite strange because Lower Hutt is a city, Upper Hutt's a city, Porirua is a city.
Mm.
So Wellington City itself is really small.
It is. Oh, man, I only been to Porirua once, but I have a friend who works at the art gallery over there.
Pātaka. Oh, yes.
Pātaka.
Yeah, it's great. They have a lot of awesome jewellery exhibitions and stuff there, and yeah, it's connected to the art school out here, and yeah. I actually love Porirua. It's a little unknown gem in Wellington.
Yeah, I think maybe it gets a little bit of hate, which I don't like.
It does.
Yeah.
But that's just snobbery.
Yeah, it feels like bloody Wellington, bloody bureaucrats.
Yeah, and Wellington's getting a lot of unnecessary hate at the moment. It's nonsense. Wellington's fine.
It's a very cool place. I think it's maybe the city infrastructure is dying, but I mean, well, definitely. But aside from that, it's a cool place.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're here to talk about your new track, Whistling in the Darkness. Before we do, I want to know, what is your opinion on the political group, the Phoenix Foundation, who tried and failed to create a libertarian state in the South Pacific in the 80s?
I'd say my feelings on them would be pretty negative.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they existed when
really?
We chose our band name.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, we're named after the...
football club.
MacGyver thing.
Oh, not
who
the
MacGyver
football.
Worked for.
Not football?
No, we're not named after the Wellington Football Club. We were around before the Wellington Football Club. We are the original Wellington Phoenix, and I won't hear any argument on that. And the violent libertarian terrorist group, that's an unfortunate association that goes against our socialist band perspective.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've heard of the band ISIS, but there was a band called ISIS who came out, of course, before the terrorist group did. And they kept with the name, which I thought was fair. I mean, you can't control.
Yeah, I mean, Shihad changed their name briefly. That was, you know, they regret doing that because it was close to Jihad.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel like you can be a bit precious about that sort of stuff. Anyway, you mentioned that you guys were made before the... And this is something I actually want to touch on, because the band has been together for 27 years now. What is the secret to keeping a happy marriage? I mean, a band together.
Well, I don't know. I think we all do our own projects and stuff, so everyone's in a million bands and doing other things. I think that's a big part of it, so that we're not constantly relying on this one band for our creative output. Because, you know, it can be quite dominated by me and Luke. You know, we write most of the songs and we sort of share the front person duties. And, you know, so I think that it probably could be quite painful being in this band if it was the only band you were in, because there's a couple of real ranty front people, you know. And I think maybe we're both kind of aware of that as well. And, try to temper it a bit, but bands are really weird things, because they are like, they're these democracies, but they're always these really imbalanced democracies, and you know, the little like who's having the most creative input kind of shifts over time, and you know, there's albums that have got lots of tracks where the music's written by Conrad and then lyrics by me and Luke, or there's ones where it's just, there's, you know, one which is just almost all songs by me and things like that. So there are always these weird little power battles inside the band, and that's just how bands work. But it's kind of about being slightly aware that those things exist and that they're just a natural part of it, and you just go with the flow of it, and whoever's got the impetus at a certain time, you just let them take the lead, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know.
Also, the way bands are kind of inherently perceived, it seems like the singer always gets all the credit. Really charismatic guitarist, like Slash or something. You know, it tends to be the way it is, which is totally not how bands work, it seems.
No, not at all. I mean, you never know who's actually kind of taking a producer sort of role in the background, you know, which can be so important. The person who's kind of just shepherding everyone into a groove or into a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird. That is weird. Music's pretty weird. There's a lot of it is to do with headspace.
Mm.
You know, whether it's shit or amazing, can just be really down to the vibe.
Yeah, totally. Well, the vibe on your new track is fantastic. And speaking of vibes, the cover art is incredible. It's a real Web 1.0 jamble of colors and shapes made on a 90s VHX mixer. Is that your mixer that you're using there?
No, so there's this guy, Greg Hodgson, who's made a few sort of VHS scramble kind of videos for us. The song Tranquility off our last album, Friendship, he did that. And he's done a lot of videos for Die, Die, Die and things, you know. He, yeah, heaps of creative things, heaps of album covers. And he's just been buying all this, like, probably for peanuts, all these old VHS devices, and that one is like this one which I think it has a pen and you can actually draw on the sort of tablet and make shapes and stuff. So
wow,
I don't know, it's probably before a lot of the listeners' time, but if you sort of imagine like What Now in the early 90s and there's like some stuff happening on screen and then some squiggly lines going over the top of it, they're probably made on this machine. And so he made us some visualizer stuff with this device, and then apparently it blew up after making it, so now there will be no more.
Oh, no.
Unless anyone, you know, has old VHS equipment they want to donate. It's cool stuff. We used some 90s video effects things in the Bright Grey video as well a long time ago with Taika Waititi. It's sort of a recurring theme with the band, is just using really cruddy old-fashioned gear and getting some kind of cool looks out of it, because you kind of can't really recreate that stuff using modern digital technology.
No, it always feels like fake.
Yeah. Like, you can really see with the Whistling in the Darkness video on YouTube that it really genuinely looks like shit. Very authentic shit.
Oh, wow. I love that you've put it that way. That's fantastic. You're on record as saying that this track is the song of the summer and potentially the song of the millennium. What does Will Smith's 1999 record Millennium, which features the likes of Wild Wild West, Freakin' It, and mean to you?
Oh, I would say it means very, very little. haven't thought about it since Y2K. I haven't thought about it much. Until I was writing that press release, and I just, you know, writing press releases is so painful because you're supposed to be all positive, and just writing positively about yourself sucks.
Mm-hmm. So, it feels like you're writing like a job application or something, and those are already painful.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it is. It's very painful.
No, I appreciate it.
But hey, I reckon this is the song of the summer because it's fun, it's catchy, and it's also a song that's kind of criticizing all of humanity for sticking our heads in the sand when there's like active genocide happening in the world and not really paying attention mm-hmm. to how horrific world events are. So it's both fun and horrific. And, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like that is really what we need right now.
You're real for that. And not only that, but I do appreciate when I read a lot of press releases for my job, and I like it when there's someone who's a bit silly with them, because I think, you know, there's kind of a culture about this myth of the music industry in New Zealand, and I mean there's definitely bones to it, but so much of it is kind of pomp and circumstance, you know. So much of it is pretending that it exists so it does exist, you know. It's not like it's a billion majillion dollar industry, you know?
Yeah, well, a lot of it's just very boring as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Writing.
Yeah, and I guess this next question rhymes with boring. You're going on a tour. You're touring. The band's on tour with two shows, one at Double Whammy in Tamaki Makaurau this Friday and another at Meow in Pōneke, Wellington on Saturday. Now, what I want to know is, can a two-date tour be considered a tour?
Not really.
No, I think not. I think that's false advertising.
It is false advertising, but what are we going to do?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
We haven't done any gigs in ages. We don't have any money. We wanted to put out some songs. It's easiest for us to go to Auckland and Wellington. Then we don't lose money. basically. That's kind of the upshot. But that's the reality is touring in New Zealand at the moment is really expensive, especially if you want to try and fly in and out of Dunedin. So fuck you, Air New Zealand, for your insane prices down there. So we don't, because actually, like, I feel like, you know, this band, we really get a lot of love down south. So it's always a shame when we don't make it down there, but we just had to do some gigs this year. So it was all organized very last minute, kind of purely as a bit of a mental exercise and just getting out there and playing some gigs. You know, we're doing it really cheap. We're not taking our guitar tech. We're not taking our own sound person. We're not taking a lighting person. We haven't got Anita Clark Motta on this tour, which is, it feels like a bit of a bummer, but we're just kind of trying to do it the old core band, no extra things, and just getting out there and playing some gigs in kind of regular venues, as opposed to doing, like, we're always doing theatre tours and, you know, having quite complex shows. So this is just playing some gigs, and in a way that feels more exciting to me right now.
I'm sure the people up in Pōnekea and Tamaki respectively will appreciate it. Hey, I really want to thank you for your time, Sam. It's been very, very fun chatting with you. I'm very much hoping we get to chat again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Also, just one more thing. There's
new
another song.
Song
coming out.
Yeah, Rachel
There's
Hicks.
Another song coming out in 2 days. Yeah, and it's really good. It's even better.
Cool.
That's the song of the millennium, to be honest.
To be fair. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the program, and all the best with your shows, and hopefully maybe in 2025 things get cheaper and you can come down to Aussie Party.
We'll come down regardless of the cost.
Okay.
We miss you guys too much.
We miss you too. Thank you for coming on the program, man. Appreciate it.
See you later.
See ya. All right, folks, that was Sam Scott from the Phoenix Foundation. We're chatting about their new track, which we're going to play for you right now. It is called Whistling in the Darkness. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a band, but, you know, bands don't like to get compared to bands, so I'm not even going to say what it was. Here is the Phoenix Foundation with Whistling in the Darkness. Coming up very shortly, we have El Hotel coming through for their new track, Game Plan. Stay tuned.
Thanks for choosing a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are more just like this at r1.co.nz.